Hello, and welcome to the Indian American Experience podcast. I'm your host, Bindiya Parikh. Indian Americans are a group that defies being painted in one stroke, be it in political or ideological leanings, definition of identity, or perception of their place in society. So join me in listening to the journeys and experiences of a diverse group of Indian Americans, or Desis, through lighthearted, casual conversations and see if we can find common threads, maybe shed some myths, and hear some interesting stories. Let's get started. I have a very special guest today, Mrs. Sushila Shah. Mrs. Shah is 85 years young and currently teaches Reiki in Florida, where she lives with her husband. Mrs. Shah is an engineer by training. She was, in fact, the first woman engineering grad at her college in India and has since had a long career as a civil engineer, during which she designed bridges and dams for irrigation projects in India and worked as a design engineer for nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania and Iowa. So let's hear her story. By the way, Mrs. Shah is not actually my aunt, but I can't help but address her as auntie. Namaste, auntie. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, and I'm glad that you are interviewing me, and I like to give the whole story about me, as you asked me. And I was born in Rajkot, Saurashtra, raised in Rangoon, Burma. And that is the main place where I studied my whole education.
How did you go to Rangoon? How did that come about?
My father had a business. He started a business over there. So he was doing the business. So we went there and we lived there. Okay. And after my high school finished in Rangoon, I just came to Baroda to study further. In Rangoon, it was like that. If I want to go to college, the medium language will be Burmese, which I wasn't good. Okay. That's the reason I went to Baroda, where I can study. And my parents, highly, highly spiritual people. And they let me do everything what I wish to do. And that was the pleasure for him. Well, first, it was ambition to be a doctor. I did my inter-science with biology, where I dissect a frog, lobster, earthworm, cockroaches, everything. And that was I was doing for my mother's ambition. She wanted me to be a doctor.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I will fulfill your ambition. Okay. But in the exam, they gave me the frog with the chlorophyll to show the heart system. Yeah. And they didn't give the enough chlorophyll. So the frog jumped on me.
Oh, no.
I said, that's it. I cannot fulfill that ambition. And then I passed my class, inter-science with biology. Okay. But then I said, I cannot do this. And I changed my mind. And I thought about to be an engineer. That was another ambition, that after being an engineer, I want to build up the school where uneducated girl and those girls who cannot go to the school with the fees. So I wanted to build a school with the free from fees.
Nice.
But that was because my mother she wanted to go to school, but she couldn't do because she had a stepmother, so she couldn't go to school.
Okay.
I couldn't do that because it was difficult for me to do that. So I changed my mind and I thought I will go to engineering, build up the school, and then I will fulfill the ambition of my mother.
Wow. And so your mother couldn't go to school herself, but she had high expectations of you, and you fulfilled them.
Yes, I was trying to do everything to satisfy her ambition.
Yeah.
When I told my mother that I would like to go to engineering college so I can build up the school, and she said, no, girls cannot go to the engineering college. Have you ever heard? I said, I never heard, but I want to do that. And I said, okay, I will go. But said, no, I will come with you and talk to your dean and vice dean. That is it possible for the girl to be an engineer? Because there is no girl in the college and she will be the only one. How could you say she can study here? But then dean, vice dean, they said, Mama, you don't worry. She is my daughter for 4 years. And if anything happens to her, we are responsible. So let her fulfill her ambition. Wow. And my mother said, okay, go.
That's amazing. That's how it started. We're talking about, what year are we talking about?
I finished my engineering in 61. So 4 years before that. So,
So around 1957.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how you then settled into starting engineering.
Yeah. So things were very good. And the first day when I went to the college, one of the dean's office, I saw the sign of ladies' room. And they made that as a ladies' room for me.
Just for you, because there was no ladies' room.
There wasn't ladies' room at all.
Look at that. Wow. What an amazing.
Then I went to the school, and there are some bad points too. Some, there are some naughty boys. They try to do my work, the engineering sheet. We make it for the building or surveying. Yeah. They spoil my sheet. They tear off my sheet. But demonstrator, they were good. So they understood that some naughty boy has done this.
There will always be naughty boys.
Yeah, and there are some so good boys with that. When we go to surveying, some people take out the air from my bicycle. And so when they know it, they said, okay, Susila, you don't worry. I will take care of your bike. And 4 boys, they will stand with me and stay with me after the school time. And one boy will take the bike to the cycle and then pump it and get filled with the air, bring it to me, and then so there are good and boys.
Just a couple of bad apples, but then everybody else was mostly so supportive, and it sounds like very protective of you also.
That's right. And I graduated, and my dean and vice dean, they were very happy. They came to my father's our home and congratulate my father to let me being the engineering, and then said, now we want to have a good party for her. And a good party for me for being graduated. And there was a newspaper in Baroda, and it was in Rajkot, everywhere.
Yeah, information, it was in the papers.
The first lady engineer of the India. So there were other girls, but they didn't graduate. They were just working with their fathers to help them. But like a certificate course, I was the first one.
That is amazing.
After my engineering, and I went to congratulate and thanks to my dean. They said, you want to work? I said, yes, definitely. So right away, they gave me a piece of note and said, go to this place and you will get hired. So that was a PWD, means
public
department of the government.
In Gujarat.
Gujarat, and I went there, and they hired me, and that was Narmada Irrigation Project.
Narmada Irrigation Project, okay.
Yeah, and so I was the design engineer for that project, and I started working from there. And I had been working until I got married in 61.
You said then you got married in
1961. And my husband is also an engineer.
Was it an arranged marriage, or did you happen to meet him at work?
No, his uncle. He saw me somewhere in one marriage, and he thought, now this girl should be in our house. Okay. So he had that idea, and when we thought of getting married, he knew and said, okay, let's try with Ashwin. And at that time, you know, it was arranged marriage. So we met in front of parents, his parents and my parents. And he said right away, yes.
Okay.
without even talking too much, without any talk. He said, yes, I want to get married. And do you know, at that time, when boy said yes, girl had to say yes. Then my parents said, okay, it is done.
You didn't have a choice.
I didn't have a choice at all.
But no regrets, right?
No regrets.
So at that time, he knew you were an engineer. And of course, your good looks, notwithstanding, that's all he needed to know.
Yeah, right. So we met him for a time and he said, okay. And I had to say, okay.
Wow. And the rest is history. You've been married since 1961, huh? And then you came to the U.S., you told me, in 1970. Did you have any children by then? What prompted that decision?
Well, it was my ambition to not get married, go to America, get my master design engineering degree. Okay. And go back to India and do something good for India, build a good school. And that was my ambition too.
But let me ask you, how was that your aspiration to go to was there family in the U.S.? Was there a role model you were looking up to?
No, just the study.
Okay.
To be master in structure design engineering.
That's what you wanted to do.
Yeah. So I wanted to be master in structure design so I can build up a good, that was my thinking, that it will help me to fulfill my ambition to build a big school and do something good. Yeah, that was my main ambition.
That was your focus. So then? And
my husband knew that this is my ambition.
Okay.
And I want to go to America. He came to America first.
Okay.
And settle everything, and then I came. I studied here in Iowa University and finished my structure design course.
And all this while you by now had children and were raising children at home as well.
Yes, I had two girls, and when I came to America, my parents took care of my two girls for 1 year so I can finish my study.
Okay.
After I finished my study, they came to America, my two girls.
Your girls came to America to join you. And then you still continued to work and take care of and raise the two girls as a team with your husband?
At this time, I will give this credit to my Bobby.
Your Bobby.
My brother's wife, yeah. And she wasn't working at that time. So she took care of my children because I wasn't thinking of living with the babysitter, and they took good care of my two girls for 1 year.
Were you all living together or were they close by?
I was in Iowa and they were in Pittsburgh, but my two girls were in Pittsburgh because my Bobby has two boys of the same age. So they four were going to school at the same time, and it's a good company with them, and it worked out for me also.
Wow, truly the whole family came around to raise the children together. That's wonderful. Do you remember that through all this, when you came to this country, you had your ambitions, what kind of an adjustment did you have to make? Having grown up in India and Burma, when you came to this country, did you have to adopt something quickly, learn something quickly, change your ways in any way? Do you remember what that was like?
Not really at all, because, you know, we could do it, everything at home. But I met one lady, I should mention this, American lady, where we were living. She was the landlord. And we were the renter. And she knew that I am coming from India, which I don't know anything about winter and how to live in the winter. She was helping me so much. And she will take me to the shopping. And she said, you should buy this kind of coat and this kind of shoes for the winter. And she took me to the welcome wagon, if you remember the welcome wagon.
Yeah.
And they were,
yeah,
so she took me over there and she introduced me everyone. This Sushila is coming from India. She doesn't know anything from here. So whenever you think you can help her, but I think I adopt everything and I see everything. We adopt everything and it was okay.
Well, having lived such a good, full life, Auntie, and had successful careers, raised two amazingly successful, well-rounded daughters, you must feel very proud and very satisfied with the life you have lived, don't you?
Right, very much. And at the same time, I really enjoy everything what I did and with the support of my husband. You know, if I don't get support, then it's hard. And even I will give good respect to my mother-in-law. Even after the marriage, the second day of my day, I went to the work and she was taking good care of me. And said, Susila, you are doing this. So, and in Bombay, they send the tiffins. She was sending me tiffin with so much food and everything. And I said, Ba, I cannot eat this much, Donna. No, you have to eat. But my mother-in-law was not mother-in-law. She was my mother.
So supportive.
So good support, you know.
Yeah, couldn't have done it without that.
Yeah.
That's such a wonderful, such an inspiring story. I do want to ask you all this wisdom that you have accrued through your life. Can you tell the listeners what principles have you lived your life by? What can you tell us about that?
The principles, you do your work without any reward. If you think of reward and do the work and if you don't get, you're dissatisfied. But it never happened to me, you know. I wasn't looking for any reward. I was just looking for my work to do, that this is I want to do and I do it. And that's all I was doing. I wasn't looking for any reward. In Hindi, you know, I read about the Dada Bhagwan, if you might have heard. And I just impressed with one thing, what he said. When you are born, you are bringing last year karmas with you. It's a bundle of your karmas you are bringing with you. And here you have to open them. It opens by itself. And whatever you are getting, you are not doing. Your karma is helping you. And karma is the reward. That's all you are happening to you. So that's what I say. Even bad things happen. I say, oh, I might have done something bad in last life. So I'm getting that. So let it happen. And my father, you know, highly spiritual person.
Okay.
And he told me one thing, it is in Gujarati. I will say in Gujarati, but then I mean, Swama was, Parthi khas, Tuku touch, to Atlukar. It is be in yourself, stay away from everyone. You have to do that much. And when something that happens, you just look.
Just be detached, I guess.
Detached, perfect.
Oh, wow. That's something to live by.
And it happens. So many bad things happening in life. Mm-hmm. And at that time, even something happened. And then I remembered that. And I said, okay, I might have done something bad in my last life.
Just the acceptance of that.
Yeah, acceptance.
Is there anything else, Auntie, that I left out that you want to share with the listeners? I'm sure everyone's really paying attention to what you have to say.
Yeah. See, after my finishing everything in engineering, I was retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my sister's home just to give her company because she was sick. I went there and what happened that she was very sick. And a guy came over there and he said, Benji, why don't you take Reiki, R-E-I-K-I? And my sister said, no, we don't believe. And I don't believe in that time. And I heard I didn't believe it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you take it, take it, take it. And she was, but my sister's son was believing in Reiki. He told me, Masi, why don't you learn Reiki? I said, no, I don't want to learn Reiki. It's nothing. you are not doing anything, is better to learn. And he gave my fees to the teacher and said, she will be coming. And even without my agreement, I went to school.
Okay.
And first day, they teach whatever they teach, and then we have to practice for 21 days. And I came to home and I say, okay, now I have to practice this. It heals all kind, emotional and physical pain. So amazing. And I learn, and then I started practicing at night. And you wouldn't believe what happened that night.
Hmm.
I was practicing, and the whole gadi, takya, whatever you say, the bed.
Yeah.
It was so warm, just like a warming bed, you know. And I said, I asked my husband, what did you do? Did you put some heating pad over here, or what happened? Why this bed? I didn't do anything. And I was practicing, and then I realized, okay, this is the Reiki. And at that time, I believed in Reiki. And I went to all my courses afterward, like Reiki level 1, 2, and 3, everything I did.
Okay.
And I was using it. Then I was teaching. And after my first, this happened to my first client. She came and she had a cancer. And she wasn't able to eat after chemotherapies.
Right.
She told me, okay, Sushila, do you think the Reiki will help me? I said, I don't know. If you want to try, we can try, but I cannot promise.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried, and she took 3 sessions in 1 week. And on the fourth one, she said, I can eat, I don't vomit, I'm so fine, Reiki is excellent healer. And like that, then I started professionally practicing Reiki. And so I had 2 studios over there, and amazing, amazing, amazing healing effect. I have seen it. People should know more about Reiki.
And you continue to teach it now in Florida, where you live.
Right. In Florida also, I have 2 doctor students and 1 nurse, and other are also learning, like a regular one is a dentist also. Reiki is a Japanese word. In Indian, we call prana, and that's energy. And so if you have a blockages in the energy, it appears in your body because they are interdependent on each other. So something happened to energy body, shows in physical, and physical body happens, it shows in energy body. And Reiki heals that. So it affects physical and energy body both.
So at this time of your life, you're 85 years young, you're active, you're teaching Reiki. If I asked you, what else is it that you want to do in your life right now? What is it that you want from your life right now?
Peace. And I want to, in Jainism, we say we want to get the moksha. So no more life again. So that's what I'm working on now.
That's what you aspire for, moksha. Well, I wish you all your wishes come true and a continued life of vigor and good health and satisfaction, Auntie. Thank you so much. And I'll be back next Monday with another wonderful member of the Indian American community. Hope you'll be there too.